have a question for you today. Why can't Christians see this? And this is one of those special manifest programs that wherever you're watching, I hope you watch all of it, all the way through the entirety, all the way to the end. Now, I want to say something up front, that many times we'll come to an area to minister and we will have people say, oh, I watch your program all the time, but I didn't know you were going to be here. What they do is they watch the teaching, then they cut it off. But if you watch it to the end, that's where you will find out where I'm going to be ministering at. So please remember that from here on out. Okay, I want to take you back to the 1700s and 1800s. In that time frame, the local, what we call the very small schools, and a lot of them were very tiny one-room schoolhouses, were very involved in using the Bible as a part of the teaching curriculum, because every family back then had a Bible in their home, or I say most of them did, and it was used to teach English, it was used to teach grammar, and so the Bible was a very strong part of the educational system in the what we would term public schools. Then in the 1700s and 1800s, in the colleges or universities, they taught poetry, they taught literature, they taught history, they taught writing, and they did this incredible job. Now, that is the reason why that our founding fathers were such gifted writers. And there were some of them that understood theology quite well, as you know, in their educational process. Let's talk about theology for a moment. I have books that were written in the 1700s and 1800s by Christian teachers and Christian theologians. Most of them knew Latin. Most of them knew Greek. Some of them knew Hebrew. Some of these theologians were graduates back then of Harvard or Princeton or some of the other leading universities. Now, here's another thing they did back then. Most of your founding fathers or early Americans that were involved in the political situation, or those that were pastors or bishops, continually studied classic literature. They studied the Roman Empire. They studied the Grecian Empire. And although some of them were self-taught, they were very, very literate when it came to history. Now, that's another reason why if you go to Washington, D.C., you will discover that the architecture of our buildings are very similar to what you see in the ruins of ancient Greece, and also the ruins, for example, in Rome that are connected or linked to the Roman Republic or the ancient Roman Empire, because we patterned a lot of our structure and a lot of our government on the democracy of Greece and a lot of our ideas on the Roman Empire. So they were very familiar. Now, let us go forward from the 1700s to the 1800s. And let me just share something with you kind of from my own heart. The modern Christian church is very interesting, because my sister, who years ago was kind of involved in politics, said to me years ago that the average American is on a seventh grade level of understanding. And a lot of times when you watch the national media, whether you're watching it on satellite or you're watching it on cable news, they start using these words that politicians use that they assume that the average American uses. And I'm not talking about speaking about the budget is this much or common words, but they will use these words that are used in court of law, for example, or in courts. American people don't understand what they're even talking about. And my sister said that the most successful ministers, teachers, and preachers, and politicians, they don't look down at people. They don't address them as though they're just ignorant people, but they simplify what they're saying on a level of a seventh or eighth grade, just like a teacher would. And that way, all the people can understand. I know that does not make sense to people that have PhD degrees and master's degrees, but let's go back. The average American does not have any of those degrees. So here's what I'm going to share with you. This is the reason why I believe that ministers in even mega churches or modern day churches are more encouragers and exhorters, because they're preaching and teaching on the level of the understanding of just the common folks. And that doesn't mean the American people are ignorant. The American people are very smart people. They're very literate people. But when you start teaching extremely deep, when you start breaking down the Greek and you start breaking down the Hebrew, I've discovered there's only a certain level of people who desire teaching on that particular level, because some of them are better able to comprehend and put together what you're saying. So the other thing I have noticed about contemporary churches is not only the simplicity of the teaching, and I'm not saying that's bad at all. Sometimes I need to do that, you know, but also people are very geared toward hearing stories, but not understanding doctrine. If I were to take, let's say, a Christian room with 100 people who call themselves church attendees or Christian, and I would say, give me a definition of repentance. Most of them would say, well, it means to say I'm sorry. Well, that's a part of it, but that's not the real definition. What is justification? What is sanctification? What is regeneration? What is the new birth? What is the millennial kingdom? I could take these words that have been used in the 1800s, but not just then, actually used in the New Testament, the English translation of our Bible, and most of them could not give you a definition of that. So here's the reason that I'm sharing this with you. One of the things I teach, as most of you know, if you watch Manifest Around the World, is I love the subject of biblical prophecy. It is not the only thing I teach. If you are a partner of my ministry, and we invite you to be a partner of our ministry, or if you follow us on social media, or you watch the Manifest telecast, or perhaps you're able to attend some of our regional conferences, you know that I love preaching the Bible. I love digging into the scripture. I love comparing word studies with other words. And I'm not the specialist on Hebrew and Greek, but I do word studies from those languages, go into the Old Testament, go into the history. And that's why many people have followed our ministry for many years, because I've been told you teach us things that we may not normally be familiar with. However, we have discovered by surveys, and we've also discovered by the polls which have been made, that only 39% of the American people usually keep up with anything prophetic, and the people that really keep up with it are somewhere under 10%. So why is it that 90% of the church will listen to other teaching, will listen to practical teaching, will listen to teaching where people are telling beautiful stories? I use stories. My dad was the master storyteller. I mean, he always got my attention when he said, let me tell you something that happened. I love stories. Jesus spoke in parables, which were stories. So we're not saying one method of teaching or biblical examples is better than the other, as long as it's based on scripture. But here's the question I want to ask. Why do most Christians not hear or see prophecy teaching? I'm going to give you the excuses for not listening to prophetic teaching. And these are excuses that we've heard in traveling, and excuses that we've heard from pastors, honestly, and also emails that we've got. Number one, people are afraid of prophecy. They're afraid of what it says, okay? And because they're afraid of prophecy, they avoid prophecy. Now, here's what the Bible says, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There is a good fear. It says that that Noah was moved by fear to prepare an ark to the saving of his house. And then it says that our God is a consuming fire. And it says, fear them that can cast you into hell. And so when you look at these verses, there is not a fear. Let's say it this way. Let me retract for a minute. There is a bad negative fear that we should not have, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That word fear there can be intimidation, but there is a healthy fear. I teach my kids, don't touch a hot oven. My grandbabies, don't do that. Why? I want them to be afraid of touching a hot oven because it will burn them. I want them to be fearful of running out in front of a car. I want them to be fearful of hiding behind a car when it's backing up. So there are things that fear can be used for the good and not the evil. But to be afraid of God's word, or to be afraid of the future because of things that God has predicted, is very, very unbalanced. And I think it's very unhealthy, because you will not be informed of what is about to happen. I want to be informed of what the scripture teaches. So don't be afraid of Bible prophecy, especially if you're a believer. people that should be afraid, honestly, are the unsaved people and the unbelievers. Excuse number two that I've heard is this. There are too many opinions. Therefore, prophecy is very divisive. So we avoid it in our church. Now, there have been pastors that have told their members that. This is the reason we don't preach it. It's just too divisive. And I know in my ministry, and actually it's the Lord's ministry, but the ministry that the Lord has given me, that if I were to go to, for example, a prophetic summit that we have every year, usually in April, or the main event that we have every year, usually around the second part of October, and I've done this before, and I would say, how many Baptists are here? Hands go up. How many Methodists are here? Hands go up. How many Catholics are here? Hands go up. How many Pentecostals are here? Hands go up. How many Independents are here? Hands go up. How many Charismatics are here? Hands go up. And I've had as many as 10 different denominations present when we have had a prophetic summit. Now, why is that so? Because it doesn't matter what denomination you are with. If you are a follower of Jesus, there is a desire in you to know what the Bible teaches. Now, yes, there are many opinions on prophecy. There's the preterist, and there's the dominionist, and there's the kingdom now, and there's a lot of, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, anti-rapture, pro-rapture. But this is why we have a conference. This is why we teach it, is to show people what the Bible says, not somebody's opinion, not what someone thinks, but what the scripture and history and historical references have to say about the subject. So don't be worried that there's so many opinions. There's opinions on whether you should baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or baptize in the name of Jesus only. I could go on down the list. There's all kinds of opinions. And just because people have different opinions doesn't make them evil or heretics or wicked. They're just people, as the early church did, that had to examine the scriptures to see what it says as they can interpret it through the help of the Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid of too many opinions. Just go into the Word and see what the Word says. Number three is this. The third excuse, boy, this has got to be the big one. Well, prophecy is too negative, and I want to be a preacher who is positive. And I have a friend of mine, and actually he's not a close friend, but a man I respect in ministry, and he's a great teacher, but he made this statement many years ago. He says, now when I start the ministry and I begin to pastor this church, I'm going to be someone who is very positive. I'm not going to go into controversies. I'm not going to go into things that divide people. Now, some people have criticized him for that, but listen, every minister has to stay in their lane. If that's the way he reaches people, then that's how he reaches them. Other people reach people with different methods or different ways of ministry. But some people say that prophecy is too negative. Now, if you say that, are you saying to me that the return of the Lord is negative? Are you saying to me the return of Jesus to rule 1,000 years is negative? Are you saying to me that when Jesus binds Satan in the bottomless pit, that's negative? Are you saying to me that when the armies of the world are defeated at the Battle of Armageddon by Jesus, that's negative? You see, negativity is a perception. Some people never preach on hell because they think it's a negative subject, although hell actually exists. So when you say that the prophecy message is too negative, you probably are talking about the judgments, the chastisements that God sends to the world. But however, let me say this again. Is it fair not to warn people of what the scripture has predicted? When Jesus came along and he fulfilled all those prophecies of the Old Testament that he was the Messiah, that's not negative, that's positive. The crucifixion was horrible. The fact that he was beaten was terrible, but it was a part of prophecy, and that proved he was the Messiah. So even though we see wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes, as they increase, we know the Lord's coming. So we need to take what appears to be negative and realize that it's a positive for us who believe, because it's a sign the Lord is going to return. Think about that for just a moment. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm hoping I'm changing some of your perception about understanding Bible prophecy and studying Bible prophecy. You need to understand it. You need to. Now, the fourth excuse I've heard is this. The symbolism that is used in apocalyptic literature is very, very confusing. Therefore, I don't even know how we can study it. Well, Revelation, the book of Revelation, does use symbols. There's no doubt about that. You have the dragon, you have the sun-clothed woman, you have the beast with seven heads and ten horns. But here's what you've got to understand. To understand the symbolism in the book of Revelation, you have to understand symbolism from the Old Testament. For example, in Revelation 12, the woman with the sun and the moon and the stars around her, that's Joseph's dream in Genesis chapter 39, verses 9 through 10, and that is the nation of Israel. So the symbolism of Revelation 12, it's not the church, it's the nation of Israel. And you can prove it from Genesis 39, 9 through 10. Now, here's what's important for you to understand, that you have to know the Bible's symbolism to understand what it represents in the New Testament. If I were to say a serpent, most of you would say that's Satan. You're absolutely correct. If I were to say a dove, most of you, based on Matthew 3, would say that's the Holy Spirit. You would be correct. If I were to say a lamb, most of you would say that represents Christ. In all instances, but one time in the book of Revelation, the symbol of a lamb is Jesus Christ. So you understand the Bible by the symbolism, which takes study. Can I say this to you? That's why God called me to do what I do. That's why God said to me, or should I say helped me through his inspiration to put together videos, DVDs, and CDs so that I can say, here, take this that I've worked on for months and learn from it. That keeps you, you know, if you have an 8-hour day, 10-hour day job, 5 hours a week, you can get the material and say, we've done all that study for you. So that's why these resources that ministries have are so important. Now, one of the unusual reasons that some people do not study prophecy is what I'm going to show you. I had a minister, happened to be an African-American brother. He's a prophetic preacher, and he was sharing with me one day that in many of their churches, they kind of avoid prophecy. He said, I'm one of the few men in the African-American community that actually still preaches prophecy in the churches. And I said, why do you think that's so? And he said, I will tell you what happened when I grew up as a young kid, that we were very respective of the book of Revelation, but we were also very afraid of it based on this verse. And it's in the book of Revelation 22:19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from those things which are written in this book. And he said to me, and I thought this was very interesting, but he said, Perry, he said, when we grew up, we respected God and feared God so much that when we read that, we said, we do not want to interpret anything incorrectly in the book of Revelation. Therefore, we're going to stay away from it. And then I said this to him. I said, well, have you ever, and I know you have, I told him, I know you have, but do you realize in Revelation 22:7, then it says this, behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keeps the sayings and prophecy of this book. And that, I think that refers to definitely chapters 2 and 3, which are the messages to the seven churches, the warnings and the blessings. And so, the fact is, there's a blessing to study the book, but the warning is to make sure that you align it with the other scriptures in the Word of God. So think about this for a moment. A lot of people may have missed some of the great things that God had for them and great understanding by having the wrong type of fear or misinterpreting what God is trying to say in that verse. Now, there are pre-signs and there are signs all around us that we're going to have to be able to discern. Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him and asked him if he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it's evening, you'll say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red, and the morning it will be foul weather today because the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrite, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Let me just go over this real quick. There are some obvious signs that are taking place. There are chapter 24, verses 6 through 7, the signs of the wars and rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the pestilence, the famines. But what about these? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. There are wars happening in Israel that have never happened anything like this before in its history. There is the Iran attack, with Israel and the United States, which has never happened like that on that level. There is the war with Russia and Ukraine, bumping up in levels with drones and missiles that we haven't seen in quite some time. There's China and Taiwan, that things could change there. There's weather patterns. There's strange weather patterns, to be quite honest with you. You have the conflict of India and Pakistan. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. This is very important. The Bible says, Daniel chapter 9, 26, until the end wars and desolations are determined. Then in Revelation 13 and 7, it says, who can make war against the beast? Revelation 13, 14, who is able to make war against the beast? Now, the beast is the system of the 10 kings and the Antichrist that will come at the time of the end. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. It is important that you just don't watch news to see what's happened politically in America. It's important that you can compare Scripture with the signs of the time. When we come on television, on Manifest, or maybe on our social media, we begin to show you things that are happening. We're not making this up. Artificial intelligence is going to show things and reveal things that's going to blow the minds of people. Great and fearful signs in the heaven, signs underneath the earth. There's some research I'm doing now that it is incredible, and all I'm having to do is getting it documented before I publicly share it. Now, there's going to be wars and alignments and coalitions that are going to form. There's going to be situations with the U.S. dollar, situation with the president, situations with the United States that's going to affect people. This is why you need to know what God teaches, not to be scared, but to be prepared and to know what your future is all about. And, you know, and this is why we do a prophetic summit. This is why I make available to you special, not just prophecy, but some of this practical teaching you've got to hear. Let me tell you what I don't do. I don't go and just repeat everything that's out there that people are repeating and rehashing it. Everything we produce in a resource is something the Holy Spirit has given me through the revelation that He gave me about the Word. And so you'll get a lot of fresh teaching, and new insight, especially comparing Old Testament history with New Testament patterns. So watch this, and I'll be back in a moment.
Harry Stone is now making available his new landmark book, Prophetic Alert. Stunning new insights reveal what is coming soon, which explores and explains numerous often unknown and untaught prophetic triggers that will lead to the rapture and the future Great Tribulation. Here are some of the 20 chapters. Ezekiel's War and the Rapture Link. The Confusion Over Who is Gog of Magog. God versus Gog. Big Hooks and Little Jaws. How can the Antichrist overpower a militarily armed Israel? Iran, Land of the Assassins and the Gate of the Gods. The Spirit of Cain in the Land of the East. Satan's main principality ruling in Middle East nations. The coming angelic cosmic wrestling match. Why do many Muslims dislike the Jews and Israel? The prophetic vision of the serpent in Gaza. When the abyss releases the destroying angel. Kings of the East and 1.5 billion Hindus in prophecy. When a dead head rises again, God's four weapons of destruction that are coming. Does the Bible hint at a nuclear war? You will learn great prophetic insight from these chapters and more. When you order the Prophetic Alert book with your gift of $25 or more, Harry will also select and include in this offer a mystery CD, a surprise audio message on CD. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. When writing, include your payment and offer number AB151. This is a very timely and important prophetic read for every Christian and all who love Bible prophecy. Your purchase is what helps keep Manifest on the air worldwide. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
I can't tell you how excited and thrilled I am to present to you the new landmark book, just simply called Prophetic Alert. There was so much information in it, we didn't even know what to call it other than Prophetic Alert. And we're going to identify the prophetic triggers that are leading to the return of the Lord for the church and the time of the Great Tribulation. And this has an amazing number of new insights. Now, you know, I've been preaching for 49 years, and out of that 49 years, probably about 40 years out of that length of time has been dealing with biblical prophecy. But never, ever have I ever seen in my lifetime what I'm seeing now. Here's what makes this book unique. First of all, when you order the packet, I'm going to pick out a special audio CD to send you. You don't even know what the title of the CD is going to be, but it's going to be a surprise. That comes with this. But in the back of this book, and I don't want them to show this on television, but in the back of this book, I have a scan code, and there are over 45, I think right around 45 maps, charts, and pictures that go along with the book. Now, here's why we did it that way. If we were to print all 49 charts and maps and pictures in color, the cost of the book goes substantially up. But when you scan it on your phone, it goes right to your phone, and you can then match the page number with what I'm talking about. It's a very unique concept. We've never done this in anything we've ever printed. So I need you to go to the phone right now and make that 1-888-21-BREAD call, or make plans to call our office. That information is there on the screen, but please get this immediately. This is brand new. This is not a rehash of something that we have done in the past. It is brand new, 20 chapters, 210 pages. Now, for those of you that keep up with our travel itinerary, the month of November will include Abundant Life Christian Center on Sunday and Monday, November the 2nd and the 3rd. That's in Lamarck, Texas. Please be with me. I missed it in the month of February, but we're coming back. I wasn't going to let the enemy defeat us there. We want to come to Lamarck and be a part of what the Lord's doing there. Then also, New Beginnings Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Barry Garland is the pastor, and I'm going to be there all day Sunday on the 9th of November. We were there last year. We're coming again. And we hope many of you can just drive in and be a part of what the Lord is going to say. Now, all these messages that I'm going to preach in November are not anything I've preached this year. It's all fresh revelation and insight that God is going to give me. I'm sure of that. Rivers of Living Water Ministries, Elkins, West Virginia, Saturday night. It's real important. We've added Saturday night on November 15th and Sunday morning the 16th. And so I want you to remember the following. Go to perrystone.org for the itinerary and for our online bookstore. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Perry Stone YouTube channel, and make sure it's the official channel of Perry Stone Ministries. Also, you can follow us on social media and also through Facebook. We have over 500,000 people that keep up with our ministry that way. And so I want you to just know that we're doing everything we can possibly to get the word of the Lord out, to pray and get the insight that the Lord wants to speak to you. And that's why it's important on a weekly basis to keep up with the voice of Evangelism Ministry or Perry Stone Ministries to get those messages that the Holy Spirit's giving us. See you next week. God bless you.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.